for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of November the 29th, 1996, of the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith is the speaker for the evening.
But, you know, I am so blessed to be at this camp and to be a part of this camp for many years now. I sit and I observe this afternoon as the Coffees were ministering in deliverance. And, you know, there is such a need and such a balance that we have need of. And I believe that God is doing that here in this place. And I praise the Lord for that. And I am so grieved over Brother Jack Harris. Really and truly, I guess we are responsible for Brother Jack being down here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We had come here to minister and met Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. And so then God spoke to Glenn and said that for them to come to our camp and invade our camp. And so Brother Glenn came up and our next convention, met a lot of ministry, met Brother Jack, and then Brother Jack was invited to come here. But I walked with this man for many years, a great man of God, and it grieves me to see him in the condition. I stayed over in the room. I'm not in his room this time. I'm in the Brother Tommy Cook's room, but I claimed that one over here when I was here during the minister's meeting. I had one over here in the cabin. I had a good room. In fact, there's nothing wrong with that room, but I'm just borrowing it. But I so appreciate what God is doing today. Folks, we all need a balance. And as I saw the Coffees ministering in deliverance this afternoon, and I said, you know, God, this is part of it too. And then other ministry is talking to me, and you people have been so good to me. I've never had so many people come and just love me and tell me how they appreciate the word of the Lord. Because I tell you, folks, you don't go everywhere that they're hungry for the word of God. Now, I'm used to this in Mexico because I'm there probably five times per year. And the people are so hungry for God. And they tell us that we're the only people that's preaching this message in the country of Mexico. So I was sharing with our brothers back there, everyone in this tabernacle tonight, you have a piece of the pie. No one individual man or woman has it all. There will never be no more big eyes and little U's no more. It's going to be done within the body of Christ. And so everyone has a piece of this pie. Then when we put them together and Brother Coffee, we work together, then we're going to have the whole. So I praise the Lord for what he's doing here. And I praise the Lord for Brother Glenn. You know, Brother Glenn was talking about the 120 years. You know, I wish that I knew this book. But the Lord has given me a little of it. And you know, 120 in your Bible speaks of the end of one age and the beginning of another age. We see that Moses was 120 years old. He had never wrinkled. He wasn't wearing glasses. And he was doing fine. And when Joshua saw him last, he was doing just real good. Then God, he became 120 years old. God loved him to death and told Joshua now to arise and to move over Jordan. Because you see, it was the end of the law and the beginning of grace. Joshua means Jesus. So then we see again after river, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant, we seen 120 priests. Is this correct? And they were trumpeting with the trumpets. Is that right? Then on the day of Pentecost, you see, they were bringing up the Ark of the Covenant. It was the end of one age, but the beginning of another one. Then on the day of Pentecost, there was 121. Oh, wait a minute. There was just 120, wasn't there? In the upper room. And what were they doing? They were trumpeting too. And they were speaking in tongues, and tongues of fire had set upon them. But the day of Pentecost had been on this way for something over 1,500 years. But the day of Pentecost had fully come. There was 120 in that upper room, and they were blowing the trumpet. Praise the Lord. What was taking place? The end of one age and the beginning of another. Hallelujah. Then one day they heard in Bethlehem, there was a cry of another baby. But there were two there with them, and their name was Anna and Simeon, that were born back under the law. And they were sent to the temple by the Holy Ghost. Come on. The Holy Ghost moved upon them, you see, but the Holy Ghost dwells within you and I. Moved upon them, and they went there. All of a sudden, there was a baby begin to cry. Simeon began to take that baby and began to prophesy how it was going to bring the sword to his own mother. And on and on and on. And then here was the old order, but there was a new order that was birthed forth, had never cried before in Bethlehem. Then we see again that Jesus spoke and he said, stay ye not 4 months and then cometh harvest. But look ye out on the field because it's white already. 4 times 30 is 120. So you see, there are so many things that's so put together so correctly in this word that we need to know about. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for what he's doing today. Turn with me into Genesis chapter 1. I want to start in the seed plot of the Bible tonight. I don't know why this Brother Robert's not preaching. Maybe he's going to preach after I'm gone. Starting at the seed plot, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, here's something that we must understand. As I see the different ministries in this place here, God is raising up men. You see, I read Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Said to the overcomers, it was going to give them power over the nations. Then I began to worry about this. And I begin to say, Lord, you said that we're going to rule this nation with a rod of iron. Sometime, I live on 4104 Shack Court, Fort Worth, Texas. Sometimes, my wife, she don't want to do everything that I want to do. We've been married since we were teenagers. But, I said, Lord, you said they were going to rule the nation with a rod of iron. I said, Lord, how there is over something denominations of the Pentecostal ranks. Why? Because they can't get it together. It's the end of the last revival and they started a denomination. Then God spoke to me and gave me a word. He said, son, I'm looking for a man that I can rule through. A man that is, and I'm talking about one man, walking in total commitment and total submission unto me that I can rule through. to rule this nation. Now, it was by God's plan that this would be fulfilled through man. All right? Now, let's notice something. Let's read verse 28. And God blessed them and said, unto them be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, look across the page in the 15th verse of the second chapter. It said, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I hear the terminology in Texas said the world has gone to the dogs. But now your Bible tells you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I'm here to tell us tonight that the devil is an intruder in your life and in this world because the world belongs to God. So now he said to subdue, and then he said keep. Let's look at these in the Greek tonight. This word subdue, Brother Coffee, it means to conquer. Now, and so what is God telling us today? There is nothing wrong with the heavenly realm. The earth is where the problem is. Then I hear this old cliche that said, well, there are people that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. That is nothing but a hoax. Folks, if you are not heavenly minded, you are no earthly good. Now, notice it said, to subdue. It means to conquer. Conquer. And this word keep in the Greek, it means to guard. Now, can we skip up in verse 31 of this first chapter and can we see? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what now? Very good. Now, let's notice something. I thank God for this place of worship. I thank God for this campground, for all of this land out there. We don't need another chapel over there. That is not the answer. The answer is for this chapel to be filled with men and women that is obeying God and carrying out the command of God that God can rule through. Now, everything was good. So, Brother Robert, then something had to happen. All right? Notice verse 1, first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Now, in the original text, it says, now you agree with me that God said it was all good. In the original text, the word, it means it became void. When you look in Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, Lot's wife, she was not born a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. Is the same word that's translated out of verse 1 here. Became void. All right? Now let's notice something. We look in the New Testament in the book of Luke. And it's on one verse of scripture says, remember Lot's wife. Three words. Why is he saying there, remember Lot's wife? He's saying there, don't turn back. Don't put your hand on the plow and then turn back. You know why we've got so many doctrines in the world today? They put their hand on the plow and they look back and they watch where they've been plowing. Come on. How many know that we see in the last book of this Bible, we see the dragon opening up his mouth and spewing and burping out of it? What is that? Everybody said, oh, that's an ocean. No, it's rotten doctrine. It's destroying the body of Christ. And one of the worst, I think, is ultimate reconciliation. And another one that I don't like as well, and that is this rapture theory. When they said you're going to escape out of here instead of being made an overcomer. God has never used a deserter. He's never used a deserter. He always used overcomers. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, to conquer and to guard. Now, what all did he list? Now, notice something. Here's where that our problem is. This is why I know that God said he would give me my desires of my heart. And while I get in glory, I'm going to sing just like Robert Cameron. Hallelujah. Play that accordion just like Robert Cameron. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something, folks. God is telling you and I today to recover this fall that's in the earth. Now, go with me into the book of Matthew. First of all, before I go there, excuse me. All right, notice something here. And then the Bible said that earth was became void, our form and void, and the darkness upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved. Is that what it says? Upon the face of the deep. This is why. Because playing and singing music, brother Robert, is a part of the kingdom of God. It's a part of the worship, hallelujah, of God, because we look in Chronicles, and they went out and they sang and they worshiped. It took 3 days to gather the spoils from the victory that was won. No battles were fought. They just worshiped. All right. So now, here's where our problem is. Many a time we don't allow the God to move upon the face of the deep and we don't hear his voice. If we will allow God to move, and then we'll hear the voice of God. But if we just clamp him down and don't worship, then we don't get nothing. But notice, when we let him move, and then we'll hear his voice. And God said, now back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to our God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, brother and sister, the problem is not in heaven, it's here in the earth. Why are we having to be delivered? Because we're living in the dust realm. Come on. When you live in the dust realm, the Bible said that's going to be the serpent's meat. Now, I believe you can believe what you want to believe, but I believe that the snake, the serpent, I believe that he... And then God cursed them, and he said, on your belly, you're going to crawl the rest of the days of your life, and the dust is going to be your meat. Hallelujah. Now, thy kingdom come, be done in earth as it is in heaven. So now, what is God? It is by man. Come on, folks. It is by man that God's plan is finished. Come on. Jesus is not coming down to do this again, folks. He's coming out of that church without a spot or blemish or wrinkle. Brother, it's by man that God's promise is fulfilled in this earth. Hallelujah. A ruling man. Now, how many remembers Lot's wife? She looks back and she became a pillar. I've seen people look back. I've seen them running for cover since we've been in this walk with God. Never will forget, many years ago, I was in Mobile, Alabama. Ministry from all over the United States had gathered for a conference. Now, I didn't smell it, but they said that they did. So we were fasting and praying and laying before God. And this was back in the 60s. Laying before God. They said they actually could smell the flesh burning of the Spirit of God burning. Minister after minister stood there that day and said, we're going all the way through. We're going to walk this thing out in the earth. Today, out of all of those ministries, there's only two, and that's Brother Rennie Garris and myself, that should still continue on. They run back for cover in many things, but brother and sister, there is nothing that's going to turn this kingdom of this world over to our God except a man that God can rule through. He's going to have a ruling company. that's not going to bow nor bend or budge, but's going to declare the counsel of the eternal God in this earth. Now, conquer. Now, I remember God was speaking to Abraham. He began to bring in the doves and the animals, and they were all of 3 years old. But remember, they were all domestic animals. Why? Because their nature had been broken. And God began to tell Abraham, and he said, you know, all this is going to transpire, but Abraham, you're going to sleep. But in the fourth generation, I'm going to bring out a deliverer. Hallelujah. What is God telling Abraham? Abraham, it's not going to be in your day, but in the fourth generation, there's going to be a deliverer that's going to come out and deliver. Hallelujah. And then, remember, as the fowls begin to come in, Abraham began to mind the fowls off of his sacrifice. And brother and sister, today you and I have to mind the fowls off of our sacrifice. Came to me. Kyle, it's empty. She came to me and, you see, I'm a father of two girls. She said, Bill, how come you don't let your girls go out with my boy? She said, isn't my boys good enough for your girls? I said, I ain't never seen one good enough. I said, I'm minding the fowls off my sacrifice. Now, brother and sister, today, there are so many of us, we'll be so self-pitied within ourselves, and we're worried about the fight, the battle that we're in, and when God's looking for a ruling man that will stand toe-to-toe and declare the counsel of the eternal God. Ruling man. Oh, I've created you in my image to take dominion. Dominion. Subdue. Keep. Guard. Conquer. Hallelujah. But you see, well, this, I used to hear my grandfather, was a full-blooded Frenchman, he'd say, son, the world's gone to the dogs. The devil's took the world over. Brother, I'm here to tell you that the devil hadn't took my world over. Hallelujah to God. He's not the prince of the power of this world. I want you to know I'm a Holy Ghost millionaire tonight, that I've been filled with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, go with me into Isaiah chapter 14. And let's look here. And I'm getting into this controversial stuff here now. That's all right. Isaiah chapter 14. Hallelujah. I believe that there are three high-arching angels. I believe that there were Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Gabriel was a messenger angel that stood in the presence of God, came to Zechariah and Elizabeth and Sister Coffee, and God said that Zechariah and Elizabeth had holy flesh. Come on. And the memorial had come up before God, and it was blameless. That's holy flesh. Now, Zechariah only one talked about the holy flesh. But remember, Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. But Michael's very name means who is like our God. Right. Then Daniel 12 prophesied, and he said in the last day that Michael will stand up. We look in Revelation chapter 12, and old Michael is standing up with those overcomers. Hallelujah to God, and delivering a new word to the earth. Now, verse 12. This is an angel of light. How art thou fallen from heaven? Come on. Now, didn't we talk about fallen man tonight? We're supposed to conquer. We're supposed to keep. We're supposed to guard. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation of the Isles of the North. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like to the Most High. Notice something. Five times, sister. Five times he said this. Five is a mockery of the hand of God. Five is a number of grace in your Bible. We have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. But then we have the grace of God. And then you have five senses. And he dealt with every five times. I will, I will, I will. Brother and sister, but he's fallen from the heavens. And brother and sister, today, and this is why God's raising up men and women today that's going to stand and guard and keep this earth. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, I don't like the abortions. I don't like the way that our country is run. I don't like a lot of things that's going on. But Brother Robert, I've been into a lot of foreign countries, and I ain't never found one yet that I wanted to go live in. Come on. I come back home, and I'm almost like the Pope. I'm almost ready to kiss the ground. And brother, we don't have a Christian nation. Even though that we send more missionaries than every country in the world for the gospel. We do more than all of the countries together. And still we're not a Christian nation. In Fort Worth, Texas, there's a church on about nearly every corner in our city. And now you go, you have to fight graffiti. And the city hall said, if you don't get the graffiti off in your building, we'll come down there and paint it and then we'll charge you for it. And then they don't do anything about them, putting it back on there. And all of these kind of things. So you see, the church on every corner has not been the answer. It's going to take a ruling man, hallelujah, of God, that's going to rule in the heart of God, that's going to break down the system of this earth. Because God's setting this state up right now for a Christ landing. Because God's looking for a ruling man that's going to rule this nation with a rod of iron. God's covenant never changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord. Just like a lady called me, real good friend of ours, she's up in years. She said, Brother Smith, pray that God would just take me on to heaven. I was on the phone with her. I said, God, just kill her right now. Take her on to glory. Come on, I'm tired of life. Nobody wants to leave here. Hell, nobody. If we get a problem, we'll get the best doctor, the best specialist. So let's follow the truth of God. Brother, we want to be alive and remain to be caught up with God in the air. Hallelujah. So sure, when I said, God, just kill her dead right now. She said, oh, no, not that quick. But don't tell me then. Hallelujah. God's looking. Remember the slogan of the Marines? He's looking for some good, just a few good men. God's looking for some conquerors. Hallelujah. That's not going to run when the battle gets hot. Hallelujah. Just looking for something just to him that overcometh, that overcometh, that overcometh, that overcometh, that overcometh. Will I grant to him to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sit down with my Father in his throne. Isn't that what the book says? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saying unto the church. Brother, I want you to know there's a lot of things today, Brother Glenn, that they can't hear what God's saying to the church. God's telling us today to get this thing in order. Brother, we've been out of harmony with God, and we've offered up our program. We've offered up this to God and said, God, we got this in a mold. Will you honor that? Brother, I want you to know we're coming to one will, one way, one purpose in God, and that's to fulfill the eternal will of God. Hallelujah. Now, I will. I will. You know, this was one of the hardest things that I had to learn, because I got married as a teenager. And I always prayed the day when I would be 21 and then I'd be a man. I'd be a man. Here I have, I've already got one daughter and I still ain't 21 yet. Come up there and they said, is that your sister? I said, no, that's my baby. They said, you don't look old enough. I said, I can't help it. That's still my daughter. I always prayed, Brother Coffey, when I'd get to be 21, I was going to be a man. And you know, I'd go buy things, never even ask my wife, just go get it. Because after all, you know, I knew everything. She didn't know nothing. You know, I knew it all, Brother Robert. But then one day, I found out that that was my helpmate. One day that I found out that I need to commune with her and ask her about some of these things that were done. But it was I will. But God began to take that I out and began to put it into us. And you that know her know that she's one of the greatest companions that there is in the kingdom of God. Nobody can have a convention like she can have one. We're in Texas, you say we can brag, it's not noticed. I know Brother Jack's a Texan. You can brag in Texas and nobody knows it because everybody brags. See? So it's not noticed. But the thing of it is, folks, if I have people, I want you to know that I am the boss of this house. You've got to ask me before. Don't ask my wife. You ask me. That nonsense is over with, folks. I want you to know it's coming together, that we're joining together and becoming one flesh, and we're honoring God with that. And then we're seeing God taking everything and bringing it into harmony and the will of God for our own lives. That we don't get something that we couldn't pay for. Of course, we learned about that many, many years ago. But brother, there's so many people today that's living in men. Living in the ego. Ego. If you want to do anything, just ask me. Don't ask my wife. You ask me. Brother and sister, this has all got to go. Because God's raising up a ruling man. Now, I want to tell you something. God is just blessing us. The blessings of the Lord is overtaking us daily. And I praise the Lord for that. But you know something? We're kind of like Abraham. Abraham prayed for a son. God gave him one. Waited 25 years for that. And then God tested him with his own gift. Sometimes you say God will give you something, but he will test you with it. See? He will test you with it. All right. So, sure, we're being tested. And you see, by me being French and Irish, we almost had a temper that was uncontrollable, because you push us around and we boil over before we ever thought about boiling over. See, water boils at 212 degrees, but we boiled over quicker than that. So the other day, we had got an answer machine. We bought the top of the line. We had it for 3 months and it went bad. I go on these trips, Brother Robert, and I come back and he said, the tape is full now. 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 So, and then something happened to it and it would never rewind, wouldn't do anything. So I took it back down there and I said, we'd like to have this one fixed, or another one or something. They said, we'll just give you another. And said, you go back there and get it. Said, go back and get one just like it. And I said, but there is none back there like this. They said, well, we don't have that model. You'll have to take a lesser one. I said, okay. They said, now we can't give you no cash, so we just want to give you, you buy something else to take up the money that we owe you. I said, oh, Lord, I'm just had tired of this, you know. So then I go back there and I said, I'm going to get another answer machine that's just $2 higher than that one, and I'll pay the $2 and get out of here. I woke up for this time, and a man's been in line, and he shoved me out in front. And I want to tell you, folks, you better thank God that I'm saved as much as I'm saved. I looked at him, and after the flames kind of died down out of my ears, I looked at him, and I said, sir, I bless you in the name of the Lord. Come on. I know that. And you said, oh, you're a little old bitty wimp now. Oh, no. I want you to know, by me submitting to God, I heap coals of fire upon that man's head. And God will never let him forget this little peanut preacher. He will never lie in it. But he showed me. And brother, I want you to know, for at least 2 seconds, I was picking me a spot. Of course, you wouldn't phone up to it, would you? Jonah never told on himself either. But, brother, I want you to know I want everything between me and God clean and clear when I come to God. I don't want nothing to stand between me and Him. I want to be able to speak the Word of God and hear the voice of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That man looked at me and dropped his head. He probably thought he'd met a holy nut. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All I need, Brother Robert, is just a couple minutes. I'll tell him about my Jesus. Here, just back in October, last month, 5 young men in Linares, Mexico, chasing us around there, said, "We want to shine your shoes, shine your shoes." So we said, "Well, it ain't going to hurt us to pay them to shine our shoes." So we got over there. We let them shine their shoes. Then I had 2 native pastors with me. We again began to talk about to those 5 young men about the blood of Jesus. Brother, right there on the plaza. Now, in English, it's called square, but in Mexico, it's plaza. Right on that plaza, we led 5 young men to Jesus. And we got Spanish Bibles right out of the truck and gave it to them right there. Brother and sister, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not a holy nut. But I want the world to see that there is a reality and there is a God that answers. A God that will meet their needs. When I left that plaza, all 5 of them, boy, their distance was really shining. And they were smiling and waving because we had led them to Jesus right there. Hallelujah. Brother, it's time that we began to conquer and guard. Listen, didn't Romans chapter 16 verse 20 said you shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly? Huh? How long are we going to wait on this? Oh, I'm waiting for a convenient time. I got news for you. It's going to get worse than what it is now. It's getting worse. This world is on a crash landing course, folks. But God is raising up a ruling man. Hallelujah, that He can rule through. Amen. Now, I want us to go to a verse. That first, before I go there, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3. And I know we know this, but verse 14. Notice what it says. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, huh? Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. How many has ever read the book of Isaiah? Doesn't it say that the dust is the serpent's meat in the book of Isaiah? It sure does, doesn't it? Now, here's my problem. Have you ever read 2 Timothy now? Chapter 1, verse 7. Ever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. Huh? Is that what it says? No. How many of us today, this is like a lady at home. She used to be in our church a long time ago. We used to have a lot of people in our church. And by the way, since we're talking about this, there's been a lot of people that's asked me our meeting. If you would like to come to our convention in March the 17th, going through the following Thursday night, you give me your address after service and I'll get you a brochure mailed to you 6 weeks prior to the meeting. It will be ready for you. All right. Now, notice something. So this lady called me the other day. You know, I have a problem, Brother Coffey. I wish they'd call their pastor. And I said, I knew the pastor's name. I said, isn't the pastor home? They said, well, but he don't know how to deal with this. And then she began to talk and then she said, began to start weeping and said, the self-pity spirit. Said, oh, Brother Smith, the devil has done so and so. I said, how come you've been living so close to him? The Word of God said our life is hid with Christ and in God. So he's got to come in there to find me. He's got to come through God to get there. Hallelujah. Come on. And I don't know. You know what we call that? The pastor's colic. Come on. Yeah. Said, well, I didn't think that he could handle this situation, so I thought I would call you. Because I know you for a long time. But you know what? It didn't take her long to get off on the phone. Brother, listen. How are we going to live all of our lives in the wilderness? Jesus went into the wilderness there 40 days and 40 nights. And he came out and the heavens were open. They'd been closed for 400 years. And they were open. And the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. All right. Now, how many of us started out in the wilderness and we're still there today? When are we coming out to leaning upon the beloved with all of the powders of the merchantmen, the frankincense and the myrrh? Remember Song of Solomon? Said, who is this coming up out of the wilderness and it's leaning upon the beloved? Brother and sister, this is where we're at today. We're coming up out of this wilderness today, and we're leaning upon the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got the fragrance of the eternal God. He's leading us and guiding us and directing us that we can conquer and keep. Hallelujah. But you see, so many, well, if it wasn't for this, let me tell you, if it wasn't for this, it'd be that. It'd be that. Because there's going to be something for you to overcome. You see, I was a big farmer in my backyard, Fort Worth, Texas. And that dirt we got there, it's so dopey, it just seals back together like concrete, doesn't it? We can't hardly do nothing with it. And, you know, I went out there and I planted me a big crop. Didn't grow very much. I'd fertilize it. I'd doctor it. I'd pray for it. Did everything. But it never did grow very much. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is raising up a people that's not going under, but going over. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And every day, just like this big old football player from Orlando, Florida. Italian, Gary Gerio. We were preaching in Orlando, and so on the campground there, they put out a bunch of big flowers, and this elderly man, that was his job, to take the flowers, to dress them, and to keep them there on the campground. So Ruggiero, this big old number 12 footer, he stepped on them flowers, and so he come over and he said, look how you stepped on the flowers. He reached over and put his arm around, and he says, brother, have something to overcome. Come on. And it's going to be knocking at your door. And remember, the day that you quit fighting is the day that you lost the battle. Come on. And listen, what did the Word of God say? Never become weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Come on. Now, and go with that. Didn't he say always to pray and not faint? Come on. Now, this is where we're at today. Many of us today, when we face something, we act like we, God, why don't you do that? I'm your little pet. I want to tell you something. As a pastor, taking care of the problems of the 16 churches that we got in Mexico, plus our own church at home, there are times that we get loaded down with problems. But I want to tell you something. I've never wanted to throw in the towel. No, sir. Because I know that the end is just on the horizon. I want to tell you something. There's going to be a remnant that's going to pray this thing through, that's going to get it right. Come on. There's been a generation that this always failed. But there's a generation on the horizon now that's going to get this thing right. Hallelujah to God. So we just might as well be a part of it. I believe that I'm ministering to some of the greatest people upon the face of this planet. So we just might as well be a part of the people that's going to get this right. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Remember, it's by man that God's plan is finished. Come on. It's by man that God's plan is finished. Now, thy kingdom come, then Satan must be cast out. I saw you this afternoon dealing with him. And the very tracks and the very tail of that dragon that's drug his tail down through our lives. And put the earmarks of death upon us that we have to deal with every day of our life. That we destroy that last enemy, which is death. Turn with me to a very familiar scripture. Revelation chapter 11. We've quoted it since we've been here. Others have quoted it, but I want us to read it tonight. Revelation chapter 11. In verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. Now, reading the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. Revelation is actually two books. There's 22 chapters. The first 11 chapters is dealing with the throne room of God. To him that overcometh, will I grant to him to sit with my throne, even as I also overcame, sit down with my Father in his throne. All right, and then to him that overcometh, will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God. That is part of the structure, folks. That's what God is building, is the pillar is a part of the structure. All right? Now, notice something. Then the last half of the book of the Revelations starts off with 12. Huh? Dealing with the government of God. Now, notice something. And the seventh angel. Seven is the number of spiritual perfection. Brother, you're living in the day when you're going to hear the trumpet that's sounding by you, and it's going to be the seventh angel. Hallelujah. And he's going to be trumpeting unto you, not to rapture away, but to give you a further order, a further plan in God's plan today. Hallelujah. And the seventh angel sounded. There was great voices in heaven saying, now, do you know that every time that you see heavens, you need to look that up in the Greek and the Hebrew. It's talking about a steer or a ram. Yes. That's up above. Come on. Now, I got news for every one of us. Fasten your seatbelts real tight. How many know that it's uphill all the way? There is no coasting it. Isaiah chapter 2 said the house of the Lord is going to be established in the top of the mountain. And every nation is going to flow into it. So it's uphill all the way. We're climbing day and night. Hallelujah. The seventh angel sounded. And there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ shall reign forever and forever. Now, brother and sister, aren't you ready to rule in God? Now, didn't the wise man Solomon, he said this, Brother Coffey, said, he that ruleth over his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Is that what the book says?
Yes.
So then, what have I got to do? Oh, I've got to set everybody else in order. Number one, I've got to get in order myself. I've got to see the manifestation of God ruling out of this temple right here. Hallelujah. Now, reigning forever and forever. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn talked about 120 years. But Glenn, that's not the end of it yet. We're coming to the place that we're going back into God. And people say, I can't feature you ever doing anything wrong. I can't picture you been out in the world. You know why? They're tracing my roots back into God. Listen, we came out of God and we're on our way back into God. Remember, that side was not opened. It was not closed up. Adam's was, but Jesus' was. Bible said, for we came out water and blood. And brother, that side is still open and we're on our way back into God. Amen. Then what does he say? The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, of His anointed. His anointed. Now, so then we go back, and the writer of the book of Hebrews, who we believe was the Apostle Paul, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, he talks about another order. See, folks, there are some of us that are still watering out. Come on, there's three feasts. You said there was nine, but they were brought back into three. Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacling of God. Yes. Come on. Now, brother and sister, we watered Pentecost out. Yes, come on. We watered it out. Come on. We passed over, and then we got into Pentecost. And when we started speaking in tongues, we had arrived. Come on. I preached in Elam Bible Institute in Lyman, New York. And when they get up there and they said, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost one night, and they said, you've got it all. I said, and so then they said, okay, Bill, it's your time to preach. And they didn't tar and feather me, but I said, I took up my text in Acts chapter 2, and I said, this is a very infinite church, and they just learn how to speak in tongues. They don't know how to set in the church yet. Come on, folks. Brother and sister, the Holy Ghost and the speaking in tongues is the most elementary office of the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, that's not it. The Holy Ghost, after it's come upon you, you shall have power to witness unto me to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Most elementary office. And people said, oh, I got it all. I'm still looking for more. Still looking for more. I'm looking to be completely born of God. Hallelujah. Now, Revelation chapter 12, we'll close second time. All right, now, let's notice. Revelation chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. This word, angels, it means messengers. Now, Brother Glenn, Malachi cried out and he said, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, I will send my messenger and he shall come to the temple suddenly. Now, brother and sister, tonight, if you will receive it, God has sent you a messenger. I'm not a very good messenger, but I've been a messenger sent from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. A messenger. All right, now let's notice. Fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, but noticed, and prevailed not. Come on, I read the last chapter. We won. We won. Hallelujah. But I'm having a lot more victories today than I am having defeats. Oh, hallelujah to God. I know, Brother Bill, what God is after in my life. And now I'm trying to avail and present my body that God can bring it forth in my life. Hallelujah. Now, prevail not. Neither was a place found anymore in heaven. That great dragon, somebody had kept up their homework, had they? Remember, we started off, it was only a serpent. But now he's grown to be a dragon. All right? Was cast out. Now, I think he's well identified. What does it say? That old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. With him. All right? And I heard a voice. I heard a voice. Hallelujah. Brother Robert, after all of these years of preaching this word, it thrills me at night when I lay down in bed to go to sleep. I hear the voice of God. the voice of God telling me to move on higher. I hear people prophesying that, oh, the Lord is pleased with me. He's pleased with me. He don't love me that much. He tells me, that son, get up and get with it. Hallelujah, to bring His kingdom forth in this earth. And it's not going to be done unless people arise to the occasion and bring it about. Because God's will be performed through man. He will use men. All right? And I will never forget a night when my little grandson was born and weighed 2 pounds. 4 ounces. My wife, the baby's mother, went to the doctor, pressing the doctor, said, "Doctor, how much chance does he have?" Doctor said, "I am not giving him no chance until after a few hours, and I'll reevaluate the situation. Then I'll tell you what's going on." That night, there was crying going on, Brother Bill. That was my grandson too. I grabbed every one of them and I said, "Look, ain't a one of you that loves that baby any more than I do, but crying is not going to raise that baby up. You're going to have to get a hold of God, and God will raise that baby up." Amen. Today he weighs 192 pounds. Come on. He's done real well for himself, hadn't he? Hallelujah. Sympathy is not going to help nobody. It's going to take somebody laying hold upon the Word of God and assimilate, appropriate that Word. Hallelujah. Sure, we love. Brother, in the stillness of the night, the other night God spoke to me and He said, "Son, I will guide thee with mine eye." I wasn't going to be real smart like I had been in days gone by. I jumped up out of that bed, Brother Bill. I went to my study. I got that scripture and I wrote it down. I put my name right beside it. So today, God's going to guide us with His eye. Why? Because we are the company that's following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Hallelujah. Well, there's no time to stop. But notice, and they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And what? And the word of their testimony. And this word of their testimony is not the glad Sally and Susan Johnny got saved either. It's not that. The word of their testimony, which is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, said the word of testimony is the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. Yes. That's what we're looking for today. We're not looking for man's theory, but we're looking for a direct word from our God. Now, and what happened? There was such an attitude change. And they loved not their lives unto death. What an attitude change. You know, Sister Coffey, I used to be number one. That's what I thought, you know. But now it doesn't even matter. You see, 33 years ago, I couldn't understand why the moderator didn't know that I was the one that had the message for the convention. I couldn't understand that, Brother Robert. But then after that, I began to get a word for the convention. And I walked to the pulpit with trembling legs and said, "God, do I have a message today? I'm not interested in a sermon. I want a message from the eternal God that will bring the body from where it's at into a greater elevation in God." Yes. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to bring answers. Bring answers. Now, what's our job? We got to guard and we got to conquer. Hallelujah. What are you going to conquer? Everything that's holding you back. Right. Come on. I believe that Galatians chapter 4 said, "The fullness of time to come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." I believe that we're approaching another fullness of time. And I believe it is time for us to come forward. Let's stand to our feet. Father, tonight, as we poured out our hearts unto this people tonight, Lord, God, that not one word that's of yours will slip or fall to the ground. If there's anything that I've added or got into the way, Lord, you dismiss it all from their very eyes and their beings tonight. But every word that you've held through, Master, don't let none of it slip from any life here tonight, but they will hold it until it becomes flesh unto them, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Glenn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I trust that every one of us this evening will desire to be more like Jesus.
Yes.
To walk in that way that He's called us to walk in.
Hallelujah.
For He's looking for the faithful. And I want to be called.
Amen. Amen.
It's not easy. It's not popular. That doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That really is, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave."
Uh-huh.
Literally. That's literal translation. It's slave and not servant.
Hallelujah.
We're called to be slaves of the Lord, to be faithful to that He's called us to. Amen, amen. Lord, you with every one of your hearts, I put a desire in your heart to walk in holiness and righteousness, fulfill the calling that you've been called for the kingdom, that Jesus shall be glorified in and through you and in the earth. Amen. 6 o'clock in the morning, we'll have prayer meeting. Everybody be here that can, and you'll find yourself blessed, and there'll be deliverance and healing and restoration for you in the morning prayer meeting as well as the rest of the services. Lord bless you. See you in the morning. Don't stay up half the night. Get yourself in bed so you can get up in the morning. Amen. Lights out at 11 o'clock.
Oh, hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus, you know. It's a beautiful name. Little song goes like this. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Oh, sing it now. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. I want you to sing it tonight. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. There's power in His name. There's solace in His name. There's healing in His name. There's hope in His name. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Oh,
what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Oh, sing it from your heart. Oh, Jesus. What a beautiful name, Son of God, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful, one more time. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name, what a beautiful name, oh yes, what a beautiful name, the name of Jesus, oh beautiful name, oh sweet name of Jesus. A beautiful name, a beautiful name, oh, it's a beautiful name. Oh, sing again. Jesus, what a beautiful name, Son of God, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Oh, Ramama Sandama Ramamani. Romano Boro Solo Boro Rabo Sarabarana Ramosura Boro Estepatabo Sanda Shabara Boro Boro Seva Boro Boriste Ramono Romonico Sura Bunana Mandura Yasara Barabara Ramoso Ramana. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I want your glory alone, more than anything else. I want your glory alone, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch down in my soul, your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. I want your glory.
you from your heart. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory. Sing it one more time. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Oh, I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Oh, I hunger for, I want your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We're hungry for more. We're hungry for more. I am so hungry, Lord, for your anointing, sweet anointing, come set my heart free. I am so thirsty for a drink at your fountain. Holy Spirit, satisfy me, oh, satisfy me. Satisfy me. Fill my life to overflowing like it ought to be. Holy, satisfy me. Satisfy me. Holy Spirit, satisfy me. I'm so hungry. I am so hungry, Lord, for your anointing. Sweet anointing, come set my heart free. I am so thirsty for a drink at your fountain. Holy Spirit, satisfy me. Oh, satisfy me. Satisfy me. Fill my life to overflowing like it ought to be. Satisfy me. Satisfy me. Holy Spirit, satisfy me. Oh, satisfy me. Satisfy me. Fill my life overflowing. Fill my life overflowing. Like it all. To be, oh, please satisfy me, satisfy me. Holy Spirit, satisfy me. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. There is a capacity within every one of us to accommodate the Holy Ghost. And until we accommodate Him, there will be a sense of unfulfillment in our lives that we will try and fill with someone or something. It is a futile search. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. After the third wife or the fourth husband. After the fifth job, the sixth house, the 25th car. There's a sense of unfulfillment because we need to have the Holy Ghost inhabit our lives. Because we were created for His praise. We were created for His worship. We were created for His glory. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, folks, you ask the Holy Spirit to satisfy me. Satisfy me. Fill my life to overflowing like it ought to be. Satisfy me. Satisfy me. Holy Spirit, satisfy me. And listen, He's more willing to satisfy you than you're willing to have Him satisfy you. So ask and you'll receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. Seek and you shall find. Bless you, Bill. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.